Basil, and I'm from Mississippi. That's my tentative address. I came from home a few thousand years ago on a mission with a word from Father's house. Like some of you, I came through the religion. I came through Egypt. Everybody always told me that Egypt was the land of sin. It wasn't. Egypt is Christianity, which is the land of bondage. So what I say from my heart, and it's not a blanket statement. I don't ask you to buy anything that I say, but I speak where I'm at, where I've been, and what the Lord has so graciously unveiled in our lives. And I'm sure all of you can say the same thing. You've been there and done that. And Gary talked about the talking and what have you. It's always been that way. As far back as history goes, and I can find anything, it's always been that way. There's always been that element that wanted to detour or to alter or to make bad the truth. And it's not, and when they can't do anything to the truth, then they go to the vessel that carries the truth. And you've been there too, I'm sure. I've handled this book, I'm trying to think, some 52 years, I think. I haven't always done a good job of it. I did the best I knew. Because when you're raising the cotton fields of Arkansas, your back hurts and your fingers bleeds and you go to church on Wednesday night after picking cotton all day and you're supposed to be able to preach. Y'all ever did that? I won't tell nobody. But and we've all seen how many heavens, I have no idea. How many hells, I don't know. I've been to a bunch of them. And some of the most profound, I've had the pleasure of literally sitting at the feet of some of the greatest men and women that God ever put this book in their heart to declare. And what an honor it's been. And I've seen the big ones come and the little ones go and the ups and the downs. But I stand here today and I declare to you, this is the greatest day I've ever seen in my life.
Amen.
I'm that from the depths of my being.
Yes, I do too.
We've all had experiences, some of the greatest that beyond the mind can comprehend. And they all pointed to this day. And the beautiful thing about it, He had chose this generation to declare this day.
Amen.
My, no other generation has ever had the privilege and the pleasure that we've got. Really, to declare this day. Now here's what I believe. And you can tell what you believe after a while if you want to. I believe we are the day.
Yes.
That's now shining forth. Was it Matthew 12 when he said, you are children of light?
Yes.
That literally says, I am the offspring. Yes. Or if I use our common terminology, the sperm that begot me was light.
Amen.
You figure it out.
Amen.
Paul put this, he said, you are children of light, walk as light.
Amen.
And so we set out to try to walk a certain way. That wasn't what he's saying. He was, what he's saying was, just be who you really are.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. And have you ever noticed, every time light appears, darkness disappears. And it does it in your heart, in your understanding. Once light comes to your understanding, all of a sudden you stand in the light and you think, oh my God, how could I have been so dumb? It wasn't you were dumb, your light just never had been turned on. Wasn't nothing wrong with you. Scripture says this. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Amen. That searcheth. And if I put in my modern, my way of saying things, it goes from room to room of the many mansions that's in the Father's house.
Yeah.
How many are there? I don't know. He said there's many mansions in Father's house. Well, I'm Father's house. And I got a lot of mansions in me. And the light goes from room to room. I can well remember the night that I was filled with the Holy Ghost when I didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Somebody told me there was and said, you need him. And I said, I want him. I'm honest. They said, if you want him, get up and come down here. Man, I went. I just found God a few days ago, or he found me, and now they tell me there's more. Come down here. How many ever come down here? Well, I come down here, and I'm standing there, and they said, raise your hands. They said, well, close your eyes. I'm serious. I closed my eyes and raised my hand. They said, now say Jesus. And I said, Jesus? They said, oh, no. You're supposed to say it real fast. And I said, Jesus. They said, you're almost there. Y'all laughing. Y'all been there too, didn't you? Y'all come down here, didn't you? I had to go to work. I had to be at work at 6 o'clock the next morning. They kept me down at 2 o'clock in the morning. Did y'all ever go through that?
Yeah.
And I'm saying that today something. The next night, I didn't get anywhere that night. I wasn't saying Jesus fast enough. If they would have told me the truth. If they would have just told me the truth. All the works and all the finagling that we went through. If somebody would have just told us the truth. I was in a meeting not long ago and somebody said, I'm going to sue the church for lying to me. Now, it sounds funny, but I promise you, we've got our feet in something now. There's going to be a whole lot of people wanting to sue the church for lying to them.
Amen.
The next night, I come down here. And I knelt, and some little lady pushed me over on my back in the floor. I'd worked all day. That felt pretty good.
Exactly.
Really? So they begin their procedures. Jesus. Now they're spitting in my face. Honestly, you know, they're honest. They didn't know any more truth than they were trying to receive. What they knew tongues. Now, don't stone me yet. And they was actually wanting me to speak in what they call tongues. And for whatever reason, if I could speak in tongues, then I had the Holy Ghost. Again, I said, just tell me the truth. The third night, I come down here. That time, I walked up and laid down. Really? I knew if I didn't, they were going to push me down. But they began the procedure to get me speaking a tongue. And man, I was hearing a whole lot of tongues. Really, I was. And this went on for 8 nights. I'd lay down and they'd spit on me. They, you know, you've been through that. You went through that. And I juggle your chin. And of course, they finally changed and they began to call it Holy Spirit. In those days, they called him the Holy Ghost. And then here came the charismatic group and they changed. They just changed the name. They said he's the Holy Spirit. And then they had schools to teach you how to speak in tongues. They was going to educate you into speaking in tongues. Now you come and we're going to show you and teach you what verbiage to say and how to say it. And you can speak in tongues and then that's, you've got it. Again, I emphasize, tell me the truth. Y'all been there? How long are we going to stay here today? Oh boy, I'm glad he said that. I don't know. But the eighth night, I went off by myself in the back room and I laid in the floor because they'd already proved me that I had to lay in the floor if I was going to get the Holy Ghost. So I went back there and laid down. And nobody was around me. And they had already been 52 received the Holy Ghost that week. And here, man, I've been coming up here 8 nights and I ain't got nothing yet. And I'm getting desperate. Really. 52. And they was all testifying how wonderful it was they spoke in tongues. But you see, that's all they really knew was the speaking in tongues. You hear what I'm saying? That eighth night, I got back there and I got serious with the Lord and it was just pure mercy. That's all. That bypassed my stupidity and bypassed this thing that I was thinking with up here and graciously and gloriously filled me with His Spirit. And I spoke in a tongue. Scared the life out of me. But it felt so good. Y'all been there. How many of you older ones remember the day or the night that you received that experience? Amen. Honest to God, I thought that was the only, I thought that was a total utopia. Yes. I thought that was all that God ever was me speaking in tongues. And it was the most glorious experience I ever had in all of my days. Amen. If somebody would have told me, because I remember during that time I was so earnestly tearing, we had some brother came in, they call him Ladder Rain. Man, the pastor's wife sent the message down the line. He's Ladder Rain. Don't let him touch you. Stay away from him. I didn't know what Ladder Rain. I didn't know rain, period. All I knew was that rain was when it thundered and lightning, you get rain. But they called this Ladder Rain. But he was laying hands on people and saying, receive the Holy Ghost. And they were speaking in tongues. But when I finally got in the book for myself, really the only way to receive the Holy Ghost was somebody preaching or somebody laid hands on you. The only time they ever tarried, of course, was the second chapter of the book of Acts. They didn't have a clue what they was tarrying for. All they had was a promise. Go tarry until. And I know some folks have been tarrying until for a long time. Don't you? So we've come through our experiences. There wasn't a better rapture teacher in the country than I was. I was known for teaching the rapture. And you talking about dying 1,000 deaths. When he tore that out of my heart, I literally died 1,000 deaths. My second son that graduated from Bible college, which I happened to serve that time as the board of regents on the Bible college. Along about the time he graduated, I seen some truth and he come to me and he said, Dad, tell me the truth. Is there a rapture? Can you imagine what it was to look like to stand in front of your son that you had pastored and preached for years and years? One of these days we're going to get out of here. And have your son look at you and say, Dad, tell me the truth. Is there a rapture? And I look at him now and I said, Mitch, son, not as way Dad has taught it. No, it's wrong. He said, thanks, Dad. And just walked off. That's all he needed. And you see the thing that's causing such a controversy around the world. And it's not just here. It's all around the world. And It's because there's an unveiling. And it's not just some hocus pocus, super duper spiritual something. There's a reality coming with it.
Amen.
It is something that you can lay hold of.
Amen.
It's something that you can live in and be a partaker of and share that with it.
Amen.
John made this statement in 1 John chapter 1. If we walk in the light as he's the light, you have fellowship one with another. Remember that statement? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth from all sin. It literally, if you go look at it, it would literally say, if you'll walk as you really are, and of course we're light. How many know we are light beings?
Yes.
Come on now, we are.
Yeah.
And he literally said, if you'll just walk as you really are, then you'll have fellowship one with another. And then he puts the word, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sins. Well, the word fellowship literally means to be a partaker of and a sharer with. So if I'm a partaker of, I can share with you that which I have been a partaker of. But then there's a strange word in there. He said, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sins. Now you tell me how that happens. Come on now. It's not a loaded question. It's not a trick question. I believe with all my being that the sin issue was settled at Calvary.
Amen.
Once and for all, never again. You see, it says he never remembers them again. As far as the east is from the west, he blots them out. Never to be remembered again. Can you imagine God not being able to remember something? Hello? And I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. And there ain't no way I can stand beside that guy and tell you anything, because I've heard him and I've read his books, so I know where he comes from. And yeah, some people don't like him. I drove all the way to North Carolina just to cry on his shoulder. And he was glad I come so he'd cry on mine. Not really. So we're here to be a partaker of. Turn to Philippians, if you will, with me. And I love this book. And I'm going to tell you now, this book is not my life. And I don't want to sound out in the wildwood somewhere, but this book is not the Word of God. Right? This book is the Scriptures that teaches me about the Word of God. Right? Well, he said, search the Scriptures. And he was talking to people who wrote the Scriptures. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think. It's amazing how he said that. For in them you think you have eternal life. Oh, but he turned around and bursted their balloon. He said, but you will not come to me that you might have life. So don't leave here saying, Ray, don't believe in the book. It's amazing what people hear me say that I don't say. It's kind of strange, isn't it, Brother Gary? I mean, people hear a lot of things that you don't say. Matter of fact, I had somebody tell me one time, Ray, it's not what you say that I like, it's what you don't say. They said, it's what I hear you not say. I thought, man, that's strange. But people hear what you don't say, apparently. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But hear what he said, Philippians chapter 2. Doubtless And I count all things but, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. And now hear how he says this, that I may win Christ. And it almost sounded like he said, if I can just give up everything that I have known and count it nothing, by doing that, I can win Christ. Now, if you don't read all the way through here and find out how he was, why he was saying what he was saying, you could get the misunderstanding of it. Verse 9, and it's almost like because he puts a conjunction word, he says, and be found. First is to win, and it seemed like he was saying, if I can win him, then he says, and be found in him. So you got two words. If I can win him, I can be found in him. And he's using an athlete's term of running races. If I can win the race, I can be found to be a winner. You ain't hear me yet. But read it, and let's go further. He says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. And he didn't deny that there was a righteousness in the law, but he said it's mine. My own righteousness, which is of the law. And I'll tell you now, whether it's your righteousness or my righteousness, if it's ours, we'll crucify people with our righteousness, thinking we have done God a service. Ask me about it, I can tell you. Because if it's your righteousness that's going to judge my life, you're going to do it according to the law, and the law says stone him if you can find two people that will testify against him. No mercy. Is that what it says? No mercy. So then he goes to verse, he said, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him. Now look at the three key words. That I can be win him, be found in him, now that I may know him. And look how he sets this all together a little bit different. That I may be found in him, or that I may know him. And then again he puts a conjunction word, and. Be found in him, or that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection. No, we'll go somewhere. That I may be found, or that I may know him, I may win him, be found in him, and then that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It's almost like the two separate dealings. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now let me say this. And it's not a blanket statement for everybody. And I know these CDs will probably go to a lot of people and they'll have some questions. That's all right. To me, it is not about a physical resurrection. There are many capable Bible scholars that will tell you emphatically that the man Jesus was not physically raised from the dead. I know that. And I heard somebody might say, oh, that ain't true. How do you know it's not? You know, and I heard somebody say that. And I'm not critical. How do you know that's not true? How do you know that there was a physical man, Jesus, come out of the tomb? You know that? Then convince me. You see, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other. It ain't about the physical man, Jesus, that I want to know anyway.
Amen.
Whether he was raised or come out of the tomb or whether he's still stinking there, it don't matter to me. I want to know the power of the resurrection that brought the Christ.
Amen.
Mm. That literally raised the Christ from the dead. Hello. And if you look at out from among the dead, I'm going to say, and I don't think I ever said this before, I have some serious question about whether the Christ ever died or not. Mm. Well, let me ask you this question. How many can believe that you are the Christ of God?
Yes.
And I've said this, and I've been shot so many times, I'm bulletproof now, but I didn't say that you are God. I didn't say that you're Jesus.
Exactly.
I ain't Jesus. And Lord God, if I'm God, God have mercy on all of us. But the word Christ, read Psalm chapter 2. It says they're against the Lord and his anointed. Go to Acts chapter 4. When the same scripture is quoted, it's against the Lord and his Christ. The Lord and his Christ. I am not the Lord, but I'm his Christ. Come on now. Will it, are we in the boat somewhere out here now?
Yeah.
Okay. Go to Peter with me, 2 Peter. And as we going through Timothy and Hebrews and Titus and get to Peter, let me say again, I'm not concerned or the least bit interested in anybody's theology about a physical resurrection. If you are, that's fine. I don't find fault with you. If you're still looking, and some people probably are, if you're still looking for a physical resurrection, you're in for a long wait. You really are. Gary and I talked about it, and I know you know this. Let's assume that I go to a hole in the ground. I may go, but I'm not excited about it. Actually, I'm not excited about going anywhere. Because I wait a long time to get where I'm at. Really? I mean, this is the day of all days as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not excited about going anyway soon. But let's assume that I go to a hole in the ground and they throw dirt in the face of a house that nobody lives in. That's all it is. And they leave me there for 40 years, and in a certain length of time, there's nothing there, no bone, no nothing. It's all dust. But if you remember, he had already declared dust unto dust. And if you won't get cremated, it'll be ashes unto ashes.
Yes.
Well, that's what he said. So he's already declared the finish of this thing. And I have preached, God, I probably have pastored, I could probably say thousands of funerals. And I've walked families, grieving families, to the side of a grave. And I assured them, if I didn't do it at the graveside, I did before they got to the graveside. I assured them, don't be concerned, because one of these days there's going to be a resurrection. One of these days we're going to come up out of that ground. One of these days. That's been declared for 2,000 years, I know. I'll tell you what, Joseph had a better promise than most Christians have got. Because Joseph made them promise, don't you leave Egypt and leave me here.
Yeah.
Come on now. And I'm the same way. Don't you leave me in Egypt. If you think I'm there, get me out of there.
Amen.
So sure enough, when they left Egypt, you know the story. Joseph still had some bones they took with him. But there's an interesting thing about those bones. See, to a Jew, your bones was your word. Did you ever wonder why it said not one of his bones was broken at Calvary? Huh? So to a Jew, his bone was his word. And Joseph had preached deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. And he meant when the final days of deliverance come, you take this word out of here. And I'm going to tell you now, the church don't have anything but an empty tomb to look to. Until this word stands amongst them and it declared you're no longer bound to Egypt, you can get out of here because of the word that says you can. And I've said that. I'm not trying to get anybody saved. And I know that sounds sacrilegious. I know that. I didn't come here to get anybody saved. Oh, and I worked hard. I've been pastor. I've been missionary. I've been evangelist. I've been prophet. I've been all of it. And the one other my goal was get somebody saved. And if you hear what I'm saying, I'm not saying that's bad. And I'm not saying you're not supposed to do that. I'm saying that wasn't why I came here. My oldest son says, Dad, we volunteered to come here. And I said, speak for yourself. I came here. And I'm not so certain if I volunteered or not. I'm honest. I don't know if I did or not. You see, he hadn't brought that to my remembrance yet. It's on its way. Can I say this? It's going to just shock the socks off of some people when the Spirit of Truth really brings to your remembrance who you was before you become who you are. How many knows who you were before you become a flesh thing that you are now? You don't know. This is my heart. This is my heart. My contention. I believe with all of my being that we sit at that council table when he said, let us make man. And I believe we formulated. I believe we went through details of the mission that would be accomplished by each spirit being that left their estate there to come here. And my oldest son says, this is the underworld. And it's a good way to say it. Because I tell you what, and you know that the religious system is the most cruel, cruel, cold-hearted, full of hate, bitterness of anything in the world. They'll hug your neck and turn and kill you dead. Come on now. They'll tell you how much they love you. And in a matter of time, pure hatred comes out of it. You see, that's on the underworld. That's what the mafia does. And I'm not so certain there's a whole lot of difference in the religious world and the mafia. Y'all like me now?
Truth is truth.
I believe this. The church said I was lost. I know now I was never lost in the sense that the church said I was lost. I was lost to my true identity of who I really was. I lost. I really lost my true self. And yet it was all part of God's plan. I believe this. I believe he chose my mom and dad to be the vehicle to bring me into a visible expression. I believe that. And I've never said this, but I hear it in my heart, so I'll say it, and you judge it. If it's not true, God will correct it. I believe it was a virgin seed planted in the womb of my mama that had never known corruption. My daddy was a Choctaw and French. My mom was almost full-blooded Cherokee. But I believe God in his sovereignty chose my mom and dad to bring me, along with about a dozen others, into existing state. Because that was the natural channel to bring me into an expression that I may become everything that he would declare me to become in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this present world, he said. As he is, not as he was, hear this now. As he is, so are we in this present world. Let me ask you, are you as he is? Oh, now, don't lose me here. That's what he said. As he is. He's not a historical man called Jesus somewhere. He's not a futuristic something somewhere out there. As he is, so are you. Don't you know that God's always had an expression in his creation? I'm having a ball, y'all. Can you tell? The apostle said this. I'm going to read it. Because some people will question, and that's all right. First Peter chapter 1, verse 2. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Then he says, how it all come about? Through sanctification, or the setting aside of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he put the finishing touch. He said, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, now look at how he says, have begotten us, and everybody say it with me, again. That word leaping at me, again. According to his abundant mercy, have begotten us again. Again. Unto a lively hope. Now hear what he says. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The King James says from the dead. It says from among the dead. But again. Have begotten us again. Let me ask you. How many worlds do you suppose there has been before I got here? How many ages do you suppose there may be ahead of us? How many worlds do you suppose are out there waiting? They without us cannot be made perfect. And I'm telling you now, there's a generation that's appearing now that can perfect anybody, anywhere. Well, I'm in the book. Am I not? When he went to Hebrews 11, he talked about the great heroes of faith. And he said they all died not receiving the promise. Then he concludes that, almost concludes that chapter. He said, they without us cannot be made perfect. You mean the old father Abraham that God said, be thou perfect. Walk upright and be perfect before me. You mean to tell me Abraham wasn't perfect? You mean to tell me when Enoch walked with God and was not God that Enoch wasn't perfect? You going to tell me that Elijah, the rainmaker they call him, the word man they call him, that God was so gracious and mild that he would send a chariot and special horsemen to carry him out of there? You going to tell me that man wasn't perfect? And yet I hear God said, they without you cannot be made perfect. So in spite of everything they were, there was something lacking. They could not attain something until we show up. Amen. And I'm here to emphatically declare to you there's some people now showing up.
Amen.
And I don't think we know yet what it's all about, but the spirit of truth within us is bringing all things now together.
Amen.
Bringing to our remembrance all things that have always been. And you're going to hear that man and yourself and everybody else start declaring things that you may not validate with this.
Amen.
We was in Tennessee a few weeks ago. And I believe it was a morning service. Sister Carol was there. When somebody said they seen a cloud come down over me while I was speaking. And you know, a thing like that don't excite me too much, but they were sincere. They said, we seen a cloud. And they didn't understand what the cloud meant. And if I remember correctly, it was the next morning. It was later that the Lord revealed to them what the cloud was. You remember that, Sister Carol? Remember talking about that? And here's what they said the cloud was. That it was angels that had been sent there to hear what was being said. And I know this. There are some that's awful inquisitive about this salvation that we proclaim. He said they were. He said they were. They desire to look into it. She said the Lord showed her that that was angels that had come to hear what was being said. And I know this with as much as I know my being. What's going on here today? You think these four walls has got it confined? Don't think that. Don't think that. It's going into, it could very well go into Asia that has been. And they could very well go into ages yet to come.
Yes.
How many worlds are they out there? I don't have a clue. But I'm here to tell every world that's out there as well to tell the world that's going to hear this on tape. We have come with a word of perfection.
Yes.
We have come with a word that will release every captive part that's within the house of the framework of God's economy. There's a word now present that can release that thing and let the complete fullness of God be shown in the house of God.
Amen.
It ain't no good to talk about the fullness of God if you can't see the fullness of God in the house of God.
Amen. Amen.
So look out, world, here we come. I'm serious. I have never been more thrilled and excited in a day in my life. And I am in the, and I've never lived in such a, I've never had such hell turn loose against me in my life. Not ever do I remember hell being unleashed in all this fury like it is nowadays. Oh, but that tells me something. That tells me a whole lot. Something don't like what's taking place. And I think I can hear Elijah tell Ahab, boy, it's getting ready to rain. And if you're going to see this thing, you better find you a chariot and some horses that can get you to the top of the mountain, because it's on its way. Tell me when to quit. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm serious. Tell me, Gary, tell me, son, brother. I respect you. You tell me. You won't offend me. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here comes that grace and peace again. Be multiplied to you through, and he tells you how it's done through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You want peace? Mercy be multiplied? Know him and the power of his resurrection. I was meditating on this one day, and I heard, for me, maybe not for, but for me, it said when he ascended, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Remember? And that scripture had been kind of puzzled for me for years. But when he ascended, when he arose, you could say in resurrection, he led captivity captive. And again, it's for my heart, and it's for yours, fine. If it's not, don't bother with it. But I know in my heart, in the ascension, I take with me captivity, all captives that's been in me. Anything that's a captive in me, in my ascension, I take captive. It no longer is an issue as far as holding me or confining me in any aspect of the kingdom of God. But it's all done in the ascension. In the ascension, you can take captive. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
When you understand that you have risen, you see, this has been the big lie someday. Come on now. Everything about our walk in God is going to get better someday, right? It's all someday. Our kingdom, brethren, is still waiting for someday.
Yeah.
My Pentecost told me to wait for someday. I insulted an insurance agent one time because I politely informed him I wasn't going to need his insurance. I was going to leave here someday. I really did. But you see, if we really believe that stuff, we would change a whole lot of things in our lifestyle. Go in debt for a 30-year house mortgage, thinking you're going to leave just any day. Go buy a car with 5-year payments on it, thinking you're going to leave just any day. Man, there's so much garbage we peddled. And we bought it lock, stock, and barrel. And we would pay those yahoos every Sunday morning to get in the pulpit and tell us to wait for another day. Oh, come on, something ain't right somewhere. Y'all been there? Someday. What did Jesus say the devil was? A liar? How long? From the beginning? He said, he's the father of lies. He's been that way from the beginning. And we bought it. Number one, we bought the big lie that the devil was a somebody. We bought the lie. You see, he ain't never been nothing but a lie. You hear this now, don't you? He ain't never been nothing but a lie. That's what Jesus said. He was a liar from the beginning. That's all he's ever been. Just a lie. So the church system painted us a picture of a fire-spitting serpent with a pitchfork in his hand. A mean-looking dude. Man, I'd hate to have met him on the dark night, wouldn't you? Really. Spitting that fire. And the fire didn't get you, the fork would. But folks, it was a lie. And we bought it. That's where someday come from. Huh? Really it is. And I don't know you, and I love you, and I hope you know that. But I know there's a deep-seated root in the most of us that's hard to turn loose of that lie. It really is. But I got news for you. There's an axe being laid to the root of that thing. And this time around, there is not going to be no sprouts come up from the roots. That thing will die deader than a doornail. And you don't have to worry about another day. You can understand who you are right now. Right now. Right now. You see, who you are now is who you've always been. And I hope you know I'm not talking about this thing here. Did you know that you can never make this thing spiritual? You know what the Bible says? It perishes. The outward man perish. So we give it gifts. And we try to make it spiritual. So here comes somebody with a gift of prophecy. Spiritual. Prophesying out of their head. Oh, but they're spiritual. They've got a gift. But you see, what we didn't tell folks was it is a gift of the Spirit.
Right.
It don't belong to flesh.
That's right.
It's a gift of Spirit. It's His gift. And if He don't function, it won't function.
That's right. Exactly.
Now, I'm not saying you can't prophesy because we've all been there and done that. But it's His gift. It's like fruit of the Spirit. Everybody said, well, you're supposed to bear the fruit of the Spirit. You're funny. You can't bear the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
Try it. My God, I worked hard day and night. I'm serious. I'm going to love everybody because God told me to love everybody. And I'm going to tell everybody how to love. And Gary and I talked about this. You can't teach revelation. I can't teach you how to love people. It's an inherent thing that's a part of your makeup in there. That's just who you are. I can't teach you to be who you are. I can give you knowledge about who you are. And the Spirit of Truth can bring to your remembrance who you are. But I can't teach you love. I can't teach you fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, meekness. And for years, preachers have built churches on teaching you how to be somebody that they don't even know who you are. Not really. They don't know who they are. They're doing all they know to do. And a lot of times their preaching is not so much to convince you, but to convince themselves. I have gone to bed Sunday night so utterly exhausted. I could not. There have been times when my wife helped me get out of the church. I would literally pour my whole being, everything that I was, into a crowd of people that I loved with my whole life. I did the best I knew how. The only thing about it, the next Sunday, I had to do the same thing all over again. They come and they expected. And I knew they expected, and I knew if I wasn't ready, they'd go home disappointed. I did that Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday night, and sometimes 7 days a week, trying to get people to be spiritual. And I'm going to say in passing, I'm running out of time. I don't care what you do, you ain't going to never make this thing spiritual. I go back to the hole in the ground. If I'm in a hole in the ground, and I always said, now people, old brother so-and-so, he gone to heaven. Y'all heard that? Oh, sister, oh, bless her heart. She was such a good lady. She's gone to heaven. How many knows H. Richard Hall? Anybody knew H. Richard? Personal friend of mine for a long time. Sir?
I knew about
him. I heard that. Nobody liked him in the world. He was H. Richard Hall. I've known him for a long time, but I heard him tell this. He said he was praying for a little old lady who was blind. Grandma somebody. And bless you grandmas. I'm grandpa. Oh, I'm great grandpa. And I've got the greatest grandkids that any granddaddy ever had. Oh, I heard that. I heard that. That was wrong. Forget my grandkids. I go home and tell them how great they are. But H. Richard, grandma come to be prayed for. And everybody knew grandma. They told him what a sweet lady she was and how she had worked and what all she had done. So Richard is standing there before he prays for her. And he's telling God, God, you ought to heal grandma because grandma had done this and she'd done this and she's such a wonderful grandma. And he was going on and on. And finally he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, Richard, shut up, pray for her so I can heal her. And I just wonder how long he lets us chatter sometimes. All the time, trying his best to get us to shut up so he can get the show on the road. I still got pretty grandkids. I don't care what y'all say. I got one of them on my cell phone. If you don't believe me, it's pretty. I'll show them to you. Here's what I'm going to read. Verse 3, chapter 1, and I'll go to verse 3. According as his divine power hath given to us all things. That's quite positive. Hath given us all things. I like that, don't you? Then he said, that pertain unto life and godliness. Then he said, how you do it? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us. And everybody say this out loud with me, if you will. If you got your Bible. Hath called us to glory and virtue. What did he say? Virtue has gone out of me. But he called you to glory and virtue. Now, verse 4. Whereby, or because of that, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So that's the word again. Promises, word. The whole capsule of everything is a word. Some of them are promises. Some of them are not promises. Once you lay hold of it, it's not a promise anymore. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? As long as it's hope, it's a promise, is it not? Once you see it, it's not a promise. He said, given us exceeding great promise. Then he said, for what reason? He said, that by these, or by the word, or by the promises, you might be partakers. And that's that word fellowship again. You might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped. Now look at this. Just look at the pattern of it. How in the world. Well, let me read that. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I think if you look at that word world there, it was a church system. Really. It was Romanism. That was the world he's talking about. He begot, partaking of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But the crux of the whole thing was he gave us knowledge of all this. Go back again in verse 3. pertain unto life and God through the knowledge of him. So once you have a word, once you know this, pray tell me, how can corruption still be a part of our being? Can you hear what I'm saying now?
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
I've heard that man preach for a number of years. Come out of light. Come out of darkness into light. You've been translated from the powers of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You're going to tell me there's darkness in the kingdom of God? And I'll in fact tell you there's not. I tell you what you are. You're a light that's about to invade a religious order that could very well cost you your little head. I'm serious. I'm serious about this thing. Gary and I talked last night. If you don't have the assurance in your own heart about who you really are, man, you're as gullible as a rooster in the corn patch. We've come to a day now where you're going to know who you are, why you're here, and what this is all about. Or somebody, there's going to be a east wind that's going to break your ship all to pieces. I can tell y'all just love me to death. No, you do. I feel it. But the whole thing is a word. I got one more scripture. Can I read one more? Let's go to Timothy. Ain't this great? I'm telling you. Was Thessalonian born before Timothy? Yeah, he was. And from days, weeks, months, how I can't get away from this scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. I'd like to stay here all day and all night and tomorrow and hear every one of you. I mean, I like this. I don't like to do all the talking. I want to hear somebody else talk. Here's what he said. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And read this with me and see what it says. Who hath? That's amazing, isn't it? Who hath saved us? That's a conjunction word again. And called us. With a holy calling. Then he tells you how he does it. Anything you can do about it. Not according to our own works. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now let me ask you the age-old question. Do you remember when you were saved? Goody, goody, goody. Oh, I remember when I was saved. I was 5 years old. Little old Baptist church in the sticks of nowhere. Jesus come into my heart. It's always amazing to me. You tell people that Jesus come into their heart, and yet we turn around and say, Jesus gone to heaven. Not really. How many ever had and taught the concept to your kids, let Jesus come in your heart? Oh, just let Jesus come in your heart. So we get little kids in the altar. They don't know. You may not like this, and you who hear this tape, don't be offended. Just call me and I'll tell you why I believe what I believe. See, I don't believe that a child was born in sin. I can prove by this scripture right here if I need to. And there's hundreds of others. It said, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now that holy calling don't mean go preach. I almost preach sometimes he hadn't called me to preach. Oh, I don't. Lord, forgive me. I'll take that back. No. I don't mean that. How many knows that Jesus don't come into your heart? Serious now. I'm serious. I'm not picking on people. Since Jesus come into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Like the deep billows roll. You know, I'm laughing about it now, but we all know that's what sustained us to get us here. And I can laugh at it now, but I'll never mimic or mock what he used to hold us. He used those to hold us. And he burned some principles into our heart in those days that this generation knows nothing about. I have no regrets. None at all. Pastoring a church, I used to have to get my kids in the altar about every 2 weeks. I'm serious. When I say, I'm talking about my church kids. They slip around and smoke a cigarette or go to a movie or put paler on their face and, you know, whatever. And when we found that out, of course, they'd come in church and hell gets so hot they'd get scared to death. So they'd come to the altar and they'd come to the altar to get out of hell. But you see, it was a hell that the preacher created. But you see, the truth is, Jesus didn't come into your heart. And that's a cardinal doctrine that every preacher in the country would want to cut your head off. And but you see, you're going to be beheaded so many times. Gary found out he had 4 or 5 because they've cut his head off 4 or 5 times. You know, somehow now he always grows it back. I hope the next he grows back got more hair than this one's got. So he can tell me some money after I get through preaching on it. That's a real brother. I can't get him to say anything bad about anybody. He won't do it. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? Not according to our works. But, thank God for that but. But, now look how he says this. According to his own purpose and grace. Dear God, you tell me. Now look how let's read again. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Now watch out. You're going to get bit. Read the rest of it. Which was given us in Christ Jesus when? My God, where we been? When did he save you? When did he call you? But you see, the purpose and the grace was all in the saving and the calling. And it was all given to you before. Read the next verse. Are you supposed to try and tell me something? You ready for the next verse? Let's read it. So we agreed. It was all done before, right? Everybody agreement? I'm just reading it. We're all in agreement there, right? Saving us, calling with a holy calling. According to his purpose and grace. But now, if you look what he said, it was given us. It was given us. The us are the ones that were saved. The us are the ones that was called. It was given unto us before. Verse 10. But, and there's that word but again. It's amazing how many buts are there, aren't they? But is now made manifest or brought into expression by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at the rest of it. Who hath, it's all past tense, right, abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light or to the understanding by word, or the gospel, the King James says, by promise, by word. It's already given, already worked out. But you see, I'm convinced that we was there helping him work it out. I don't ask you to believe that. I mean, it don't matter to me whether you do or not. I believe it. I don't believe I was just a poor old sinner bound for hell that God just happened to come to him. I don't believe that stuff. I help resolve the issues. He says it's already taken care of. But it's now brought into expression by the appearing. I close with this. I know this. I know the answer before I ask, but I'll ask you. How many wants to see him as he is? Of course you do. Because you see, we've been told all of our life, when we see him, we'll be like him. And we've waited. And we've waited. I've fasted, prayed. I had him walk in my room one night about 8 o'clock. I got so scared that I jumped up and ran. I had prayed for days, let me have a visitation. Went into a classroom in my church on a Saturday night, shut the door and turned the lights out. About 8 o'clock, the wife and kids were across the street in the parsonage. I heard the door open. Didn't see nobody. And I kneeled in my chair and I gripped the chair. And I tell you this not to personalize, but to share something with you. And the longer I sat there, the scare I got. And the door opened. Wider. Now you have to remember, I prayed for this day. Oh God, I had prayed for it for days. As far as I can remember, I've never been satisfied with just the status quo. Going to church, preaching, singing, whatever. That's never really fulfilled my heart. All of a sudden, the door swung open. And I got the courage and the strength in my legs to get up, and I ran. I bolted through the door, through the vestibule, up across the street. And I ran into the house, and the wife and kids seen me come in. They said, "What in the world happened to you?" I was white as a sheet. I was scared to death. But I said, let's say this. I ran from the very thing that my heart had cried for as long as I can remember. Not too long ago, I made myself and the Lord a promise. If you'll open the door, I'll put my foot in it. And that's saying a whole lot. Don't you ever say that. Don't you do that because I did. I learned something not long after. You don't know what's behind that door. And it ain't always glory, hallelujah, behind the door. Don't you make that commitment unless you know God tells you to make that commitment. I felt he did me and I did. But I tell you this, children of God, this thing is so close. I mean, the very vibration of it is here. You see, it's as real now as it'll ever be.
Yes.
How many knows your body consists of magnetic cells, magnetic fields, and they're charged by energy?
Yeah.
How many knows what energy is? It's light. My God, I feel this thing burning through my being now as strong as I ever did in my life. There's an energy burning through all the teachings, all the doctrines, everything that we've ran from and everything that we've embraced. Let me tell you this. Don't ever be afraid to let go. Whether it's a revelation, whether it's a truth that you built on, what it is. When that light burns through your being, lay it down, let it go, because you're about to burst forth as a ray of light that not only this age and this world, but my God, for worlds to come is waiting for you, for our day to appear. And we can't go like this. We've got to go as angels of light. Hear me now. God, I feel this thing. I feel this thing burning in my being. That's who you are. Messenger. That's all the word angel means. A messenger or a message or a word. In my heart, I'm ready. And I know this, but now I know I don't have to take this body into that world. I don't have to take this body to go to somebody as an angel or a messenger. And I'm going to sound real religious now, but I'm going to tell you what I feel in my heart. I feel right here from this meeting. I'm not talking about what has been. I'm talking about from this meeting. I believe from this meeting there will be that emanation. There will be that light send. That word will go. I know that I hear this in my spirit. There are those right now standing on tiptoe, waiting in expectancy, waiting, longing, looking for your appearing.
Praise God.
I bless you. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of it.